offering and these spoken requests that we've had made this morning.
Rejoice to see and shall be till I die.
Anybody got anything? Bless you, brother. That's right. Amen.
I prayed him this morning.
That's right.
He's worthy of praise.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
He's my God. I love him. I thank the Lord to be where God wants us to be.
Yeah.
Pray for us. We've stepped out. You wonder what a pastor is doing here this morning, not at his church, but we've stepped out into a new sense, I guess you could say, chapter of our life. I'm no longer pastoring, just where the Lord wants me to preach. The door's open for meeting, whatever.
Amen.
It's in God's hands. We're trusting in Him.
Yeah.
What the Lord wants us to do. We're thankful for His goodness, for His faithfulness.
Yes.
Great. For He's worthy.
Amen.
Praise this morning.
Yeah.
He's a great God. He's never failed me.
Right.
I failed Him, I know, many times through the years. But
bless
God is faithful.
That's right.
God never fails, and I give Him glory, honor, and praise. Y'all pray for us.
Yeah.
There's a new venture in our life. What God has for us, and we're just praising for it. Jesus.
Amen.
God bless
you. Amen.
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 Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Bless this altar.
All right, here.
Bless you, Amen.
If you would, I'd like for you just to bow your head right now and close your eyes for a moment. I want you to think about this special day as we prepare for communion. But I thought, you know, why are we here today? And Steve just told us that we're here to worship the Lord.
Amen.
And we're thankful for what He did. But I want you to think back of the trials in your life, the things you've gone through. But I want you to think about what Christ went through for us. And that's what this day is all about in communion. And as we gather here today, we pray that each one of you will be mindful of the Lord. And our Father, if we thank you for this privilege to come to your house one more time. Lord, we thank you so much for what you gave and what you did for us, that we might have this privilege today. We thank you for each and every one that is with us, and we pray, Lord, if there's a heart here that hasn't accepted you in the pardon and forgiveness of sin, we pray, Lord, that you would draw them to an altar of prayer. And Lord, we pray for those that are here that are going through trials and tribulations. We pray, Lord, that you would just lift them up. Lord, that you'd be around about them in a special way. And our Father, we just want to thank you for everything that you've done. Pray for those who are in the hospitals, those that are shut in, unable to be out. Lord, that you'd just be around about them and watch over them and care for them. Again, we just want to thank you for everything that you've done. And help us this morning. Give us the words that might be a help to someone. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And amen.
Amen.
If you would turn to John chapter 15 with me, I want to read a verse. And I think this pretty well explains why we have this privilege today. John chapter 15. This is Christ teaching here. He first starts out talking about that he was the true vine. And I thought in verse 12, it says this, and I want to read verse 13, but verse 12 also says this. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now you say, what kind of love did God have for us? The next one tells you. It says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's why we have communion. We remember, it says, as oft as you do this in remembrance of what He did for us, we often think, well, it's a different service. It's something we just do occasionally. But no, there's greater meaning to it. The meaning is that we've come together because of Jesus Christ and that love that He has shared for us. I thought, you know, we often look at the cross and we often look at the crucifixion as they killed Christ. But this scripture differs with that. And we know how it happened. It said he was led as a lamb before his shears, and so he opened up. We're going to read that in just a moment too. But he laid down his life. Now, each of you that are here this morning that know Jesus Christ are his friend. And he laid down his life. And if you're here this morning and you don't know him, he laid down his life for you too. All you have to do is accept that and realize that Christ is the reason that we have this privilege today. There are a lot of countries, there are a lot of places that would give anything to have this privilege. They would come for miles just to worship the Lord. Missionaries talk about it, how that they come, they walk. How many in here walked to church this morning? How many in here rode in an air-conditioned car? It's a privilege that God has given us. And he's given our country a whole lot because of what we've done in the past for him. Now today, we're on kind of shaky ground because we're looking to remove God from everything. And you can't take him out. And I thought of our anthem, not our anthem, but our pledge. One nation. If you take under God out, if you take God out, you know what our nation is? Under. One nation under if you leave God out. So don't leave God out of your lives. Remember today as we take a communion in a little while, what he's done for you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. As he prayed in the garden, he asked God, he said, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But he knew he had to do it. And I thought he had a greater love for mankind. If you will turn to me, Christ loved us, so he died for us. We are his friends. Now look at this verse. We often read this verse and we just kind of, you know, that's a popular verse, or that's a verse that everybody knows. That's a verse at the games where they hold up the signs. John 3:16. I'm thankful for those people, because if one person looks up that scripture and realizes that Jesus gave his life for them, and they accept that. But in verse 16, it said, for God so loved the world. The other one said, Jesus loved us. No greater love hath this than a man would lay down his life for his friends. But here it says, for God so loved the world. God gave Christ, and that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A lot of people make the plan of salvation so complicated. Let's read on verse 17. It said, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Christ took all the ridicule throughout his life, because he dwelt with sinners. He talked with sinners. He talked with publicans. He talked with people that the Pharisees didn't want him around or didn't want to be around. But Christ had a greater love. His concern for the world was to seek and to save that which was lost. Aren't you glad that you called on him one day? Can you remember the day? Can you remember the hour that Christ came into your life? Things changed. We began to look through different eyes. We began to see things that we've never seen before, because Christ living in our lives and living in our hearts. I thought as I began to think about what did he do? What did he do for us? I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. This was a prophet that didn't know Jesus Christ. This was a prophet who did know him, as we read this here, through the power of God visiting in his life. And he begins to talk about the things that Christ was going to go through. And here's what he said: Who hath believed our report? Who believed in Christ when he came? The scripture says he came to who? He came to his own. And what did they do? Received him not. So who hath believed our report? The Jews didn't believe it. The Jews are the ones that had him crucified. But there were some that believed. And today that's still the story. Word goes out across America through messages, through lessons, through personal witnesses to people every day. But only a few believe. Only a few will give their hearts. What does it say about the way to heaven? Or the way to destruction is what? It's wide. And how many go in that way? Many. But what is the path to heaven? Straight, narrow, and how many go in? Few there are that go therein. It's sad, but Christ loved us so much, he gave his life. Yet sometimes we're not even willing to give him a little time. But listen to what he goes on. It says, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who did Christ come unto, as we said? His own, the Jewish nation. It was revealed to them, but they accepted it not. Because they didn't accept it, why are we here today? It was open to all mankind. We are Gentiles. Gentiles were known to the Jews as what? Dogs. I know a lot of you have dogs and a lot of you love your dogs. But to be called a dog was low at this time. It says, for, and I want you to look at this chapter overall. How many verses are there? 12. What does that mean? What does 12 mean? What do you think? That was the number of his disciples. That was also the number of tribes. But on that final night in the upper room, when the Last Supper took place, how many were with Christ? 12 there. It started with 12, but one of them left, didn't he? One of them left because he was the one that was going to betray him. But there were 12 there, and I thought of these 12 verses of the things. It says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Talking about Christ. Where was he born? Bethlehem. Where did he grow up? Nazareth. What was one of the disciples' statements to him? Can what? Anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And we know that Christ, as he came forth, says, he is despised and rejected of men. Anybody in here ever been rejected? Anybody in here been despised because of who you are? Sure we have. All of us have. But when you think about that and you start to get down, remember, there was a scripture that says, the world hated him, and what's the world going to do to us? It's going to hate us also. But we got to remember what he did for us. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. It says Christ was a man of many sorrows. There are theologians who have studied, you know, the life of Christ, and I don't think it's ever mentioned in the scripture that Christ smiled or laughed. Does anyone know of any? If so, what does it often say? Jesus did what? He wept. He wept for those that were... When he was making his entry back into Jerusalem, he was making his entry there and he looked down over Jerusalem. And what did he state? How often have I wept? How often have I called you? And I gathered you in as a hen gathereth in her chicks under my wings. Isn't it good to be under the wings of the Lord? Isn't it wonderful to know that no matter what's going on in your life, he's right there? He's not going to leave you. What did he say? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. On the road to Calvary that day, what do you think? We were talking in class this morning about things that go through our mind. What do you think was on the mind of Christ as he was walking up Calvary's road with his cross? Us. Every mankind. Is it the good things of man that he was thinking about? Or what was he carrying up that road? He was carrying the sins of all mankind. He was there going to give his life, to lay down his life. No greater love. A greater love hath no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. For his friends. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. If you would study the things that Christ did for you, one of the things they did, they planted a crown on his head. Not a crown that we see kings wear, but a crown of thorns. They took a reed and they beat him. They took a cat of nine tails and they whipped him. Bones, glass, metal objects. And they gave him 39 lashes. Why 39? 40 was known as that was their limit because it would kill somebody. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? He loved us. Why did God allow it to happen? He loved us. He loved us so much he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, what does that word mean? Everybody that will. Everybody that will. Everybody that will fall on their knees and accept him, he will pardon them from their sins. I've asked the children's church to join us for our communion this morning. And children get excited about communion. But what I've been telling you is not something that's very pleasant for the eye. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. All this took place because God loved us. He allowed it to take place. It says, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. Christ can heal anything that's going on in your life. He can heal you spiritually. He can heal you physically. Why does God heal us? Or why does God... why are we healed? Because He loves us. He allows that to happen. Not everybody is healed in the way that we think they should do. What's the difference in that? Whose call is it? It's God's call. It's God's call. My mother suffered with cancer for 12 years. I prayed for healing. He gave her 12 years after we determined she had melanoma cancer. He gave her 12 years, and then He healed her. And then He healed her. He took her home. So when you pray for healing, remember, there's different ways of healing. He might heal you and give you a little extra time here. But if you don't have extra time here, as Audrey sings, I'm a winner either way. We're a winner either way. But if you don't have Christ in your life, you're a loser all the way. You say, Aaron, that's not very nice. That's the truth. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, you're going to spend eternity. But not in heaven, in hell. He loved you so much. He laid down His life for you. God loved you so much, He allowed that to happen. So it's important this morning, if you don't know Christ, maybe you've lost a friend or a loved one. If that friend or loved one knew Jesus Christ, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll never see Him again. But if you do, there'll be a reunion day one of these days. If I were to ask you to raise your hand this morning, everybody in here has lost somebody they loved. Everybody's lost somebody they love. If we had hope in this life only, how would we be? We'd be of all men most miserable. The night that my mother passed, I was standing beside her bed. And a friend of mine was standing by. And he read that verse to me. If in this life only we have hope in Jesus Christ, we'd be of all men most miserable. My hope was not in the fact that she was leaving me. My hope was in the fact that I was going to see her again. And if you don't have that hope this morning, you're in a state that you just need to do something about it. That's just as plain as I can make it. You need to do something about it. I remember when I was saved, I thought, I need to do something about this or I'm going to die lost. I'm going to die lost if I don't have Christ. And this morning I'll continue that message. You're going to die lost if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. I thought of the fairs that were going on around. One of the big shows is sheep. And I often thought, you know, growing up, my father and I used to butcher beef. We'd butcher the hog, and you know, the beef would go down kicking. I've been kicked many times after we thought the beef was dead. The hog goes down squealing. He goes down squealing. He don't want to go through that. But the sheep, I've never butchered a sheep, but I've heard butchers say that they hated to butcher a sheep because that sheep would just go in and lay down and let him kill him. That's the Lamb of God did the same thing for each of us. He laid down his life for you. I want you to continue reading those rest of those verses sometime today. I want you to really think of what Christ went through for you and I. But as we get a song right now of invitation, I want you to listen to the words of this song. It's an old song that has been sang for many years. But I want you to think about Christ and what he did that day. And listen to the words as we stand. And if you're here without Christ, you know who he is and you know who you should be giving your life to. I encourage you, step out right now and you can partake of communion with us in a little bit.
Up the Calvary way went my Savior one day.
Just bow your head and with close your eyes. Pray for that one that might be near.
That was breaking in two. Crown of thorns that he wore. Heavy cross that he
heads bowed.
All the way,
pray.
Jesus,
if you need Christ in your life this morning, or you need help with anything,
way to God, we can travel the Calvary way too. For this Jesus in love leads to heaven. Up Calvary.
heads bowed and eyes closed. Is there someone here that couldn't come but would just like to lift your arm and say, pray for me. I know I need the Lord. Couldn't do it this morning, but if you'll raise your arm, it'll encourage everyone to continue to pray. Is there one anywhere in the congregation that needs the Lord? Would just lift your hand. Nobody looking. We're not going to bother you. While we wait just a second. Amen. We're going to go into our communion at this time. Ushers will be dismissing you from the back row. Just come down, come around and get your elements, and then we'll have our service.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows. Bring it seems be. shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach that golden strand just beyond the river. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, died on Calvary, your touch was what I long for. You have given life to
everyone been served that wishes to partake. Our communion is open if you're saved. Amen. And that's the key. So you can partake this morning if you've not. Is there anyone that would like to partake that maybe didn't come forward? In the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Break and take, eat. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them. I'd like for Brother Steve Raines, if he would, to offer a blessing on both elements, if he would, please. He gave it to them saying, drink you all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into Mount Olives. This morning I want to dismiss you in a little different way. Chris is going to get us a song, but I want you to sing as you go out. I don't want you to talk to each other. I want you to reverently leave this morning thinking about the love that He had for you. I thought of our Tenebrae service, how we come in so reverently and leave so reverently. This morning I want you to do the same. Because He died, because He loved you. And that's what we're remembering. If you pass your cups across, ushers will get it. But as we stand and as we're singing, we dismiss you at this time.
He left the splendor of heaven, knowing His destiny was the to lay.